goes over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
We are underway here in hour number three. Hope you're doing splendidly wherever you might be. Text line's open for you, 744-2990. Hall of Fame Power Hour begins. It's time now for the Roth Report here on BDSG.
From 105.3 The Bear, it's time for the Roth Report. Now, along with Virginia Sports Hall of Famer, current ESPN broadcaster, and voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth, here is Rick Watson.
And good morning, William. How are you, my friend?
It's good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always great to talk to you. Hope everything's going well.
You know why this is a good week? It's a great week.
Why's that?
Well, the weather's wonderful.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
So it's kind of an annual tradition for me. It doesn't even have to be beach week, but when all the college football magazines come out.
They're dropping.
They are out. Swing over to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Right, you know the magazine section, right?
No,
of course. You've walked in. It's almost comical. They have magazines for everything. Interior design.
You name it. Yeah. Yachting, right, right.
Right. Travel to the Maldives, right? You've got all these magazines, and then you get to the sports section. Plus the men's section, like GQ magazine. I see how poorly I dress. Actually, it's not just me. It's all of sports media. You know, they never put a broadcaster on the cover of a GQ.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's never anyone wearing a athletic branded polo shirt.
No.
Who's the best dressed sportscaster?
Ooh, that's a good call.
And you can't count a Jim Nance CVS blazer.
No, it can't be the...
Or the old school Keith Jackson ABC Monday Night Football gold blazer, that yellow blazer.
You know who was always very well dressed was Vin Scully. Every time I saw an interview with him, he always had a blazer on. He always looked great.
I did look at GQ yesterday.
Yeah?
But anyway, we got off topic today in the first 30 seconds
of our
show.
That's what we do.
Isn't that typical?
That's what we do.
What's your favorite magazine? Do you subscribe to anything?
Oh, yeah. Well, the only one that I've dwindled down now, we'll have him on the show a couple times, is the Phil Steele College Football Preview magazine.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the best
He's
one.
He's very accurate.
Oh, my goodness. It's incredible. Incredible.
Anyway, Athlon is out. And Lindy's is out. And it's so cool to flip through them and read all this wonderful love for the Hokies.
Because
It's been a while. And we really haven't deserved it, if you know what I mean, right? We don't have, we haven't had these elite players, but now the Hokies do, and so you pick up the magazine and you flip through it and you read the national people talking about APR and Kyron Drones and Coach Pry and the coaching staff, and you flip through it and get a sense of what our league is about and where the Hokies fit in the national scene and where it's going and the momentum and recruiting, and get a sense of where things are. It's just really exciting to see. And bowl projections for 24 and 25. I got really excited yesterday. And I'm flipping through the magazines at the Barnes & Noble.
I mean, I agree. And like you said this a few weeks ago, Bill, and I think it makes perfect sense. It's just the fact that you're part of that positive conversation again means something, right? No matter if you take it to heart or not, just the fact that it's being discussed like it used to be is good.
Correct, because back in the, 20 years ago, when we talked about we have some of the best players in college football on our team, many of the best, it wasn't hyperbole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, there are a bunch of NFL guys on this team. We have a chance to win 10, 11 games, whatever. And it was true for like a decade. And it's nice to see that. Now, as for this year's team, it's still a little early. But as you were commenting earlier on your show, when you take a look at the schedule and you take a look at all the starters that Virginia Tech has back, if the Hokies stay healthy and hungry, then this could be a really wonderful fall for Virginia Tech.
Agreed. And a lot of that buildup has been because of recruiting. And already for 2025, they're off to a terrific start, especially here in state.
But back to GQ.
Yeah.
What's the most you've ever spent on a pair of jeans?
Ooh.
I want your take on this because you are, you're kind of moderate in the middle, right?
I am.
You see things from both sides. So I'm flipping through it and it talks about, jeans for grown-ups.
They're so expensive regardless, right? Yeah.
As adults, we're not supposed to go buy Levi's anymore.
No, exactly.
And Lucky Brand jeans at the mall.
Right.
How much do you think Xenia jeans are?
Xenia jeans. Anyone? $125.
$700.
For jeans?
There's no way.
No, that's not me.
I don't go to that kind of... I don't circulate in that crowd.
No.
I don't even know what that crowd is.
I don't either. I don't want to know them.
So flipping through the GQ, I didn't buy it. I did not buy the magazine, but like $700 for a pair of Xenia jeans.
Oof.
Not that there's anything wrong if you are out there and own a pair
of
$700 jeans.
Right.
Applaud your style.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good for you.
Because I guess, Rick, the key is you don't want the blue dye in your jeans to stain the white leather of your Rolls Royce.
Correct.
Don't you hate when that happens?
I do, man. You and I have had this problem for years.
It's a growing concern, that white leather in the back seat because someone else is driving.
Mm-hmm. It's ruined.
Anyway,
it's ruined.
I enjoyed Athlon magazine. So Jim Key, who's a friend of mine, he's always worked for them, and I know they put a lot of work at Athlon. All the magazines put in a lot of work. And like you said, Phil Steele as well. The general consensus of these magazines is they have the Hokies sixth in the ACC. And both of those have projected Virginia Tech to play in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego.
Sixth? Okay. All right. I got them a lot higher than that, but okay. Yeah.
Well, they have FSU, Clemson, NC State, Louisville.
Yeah.
That's the consensus top four. Where do you have the Hokies?
I mean, I think they're right there in the top. I'm obviously going to be a little biased, I guess.
Yeah, we're all biased.
But I think they're right there in the top three or four conversation. I really do.
Better than 17th.
Correct. Yeah. They're right there with the rest of Florida State, Clemson, okay. But where's Tech? How far by? Stack them up against everybody else beyond those two names and Miami? I mean, come on. I'm not going to ever fall for that again. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe again for Miami. Never again. So, yeah, I got them high. I got them up there, man. I got them up there.
I hope you're right also.
Yeah.
I feel it, too. I mean, you just kind of have this sense. It's going to be exciting just to see. And this is what I'm talking about. And you and I have talked about this all the time. Like, you don't want people talking about you in the preseason or you'd like to be unheralded and under the radar. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite.
Yeah, right.
I want to be picked to win the league 20 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And let everybody come for me.
That's right.
Regardless of the sport.
Right.
Yeah.
Be that team.
Be the guy.
Be the guy.
Then you get the $700 Xenia jeans.
That's right. Then you can go out.
Where would you wear that? Like, what?
I mean, it feels like that should be like a very formal dinner thing. You could even wear them because you spent so much money on them.
Someone out there, I don't want to make someone out there who has them. And if you have one, you probably have more than one pair.
Yeah, this is true,
I don't want to be judgmental because maybe they are incredible.
Right.
What's the most expensive clothing item you have?
Probably one of the suits that you buy, right? Suit. Once you put it all together. Yeah, easily. Okay. Yeah. That's it, though. I don't spend much on clothes, as it shows.
Ditto. Yeah. I was at a Hokie Club event in Richmond, and this would have been 2000-something early, and Dr. Paul Torgerson,
the
president, was wearing a beautiful tie. Orange, maroon, other colors mixed in, and I was going table to table, just shaking hands and meeting our fans and saying hello. And I told Paul, I said, I love your tie. This was in Richmond at the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
This is an absolute true story. Rick, he takes his tie off at the dinner and hands it to me.
Really?
I want you to have it.
Are you kidding me? He gave you the tie. That's awesome.
He gave
awesome.
Me his tie in public at an event. And it's Gucci. And it was a custom Gucci tie that they had made for Virginia Tech's biggest donors.
And that's really cool.
I still have it.
That's awesome.
And I have worn it in his honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the only Gucci tie I own. It's the only Gucci anything I own.
And he gave it to you right off his neck.
And so Paul handed me this beautiful hand-stitched silk orange and maroon tie. And then he was sitting next to Jim Weaver, and I said, Jim, I really like your shirt. And he said, Roth, don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's Jim right there in a nutshell. Yep, that's how he responded. Hey, before we break, I know we'd be remiss. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the loss of Willie Mays last night. Terrible, just
Did
terrible.
Did you know Willie Mays, one of the greatest, if not greatest players ever, had a Virginia tie?
No, I did not.
Not a necktie.
Not a necktie. Yeah.
Willie Mays was in the Army in Fort Eustis over in Newport News.
Okay.
And he played on the ball team there. And they had another outfielder named Al Fortunato.
Yeah.
And Al did this basket catch. And that's where Willie Mays learned the basket catch.
Oh, really?
From his fellow Fort Eustis teammate, Al Fortunato.
That is really cool. I didn't know that. They've been showing the catch from the 54 series. The catch of baseball, maybe history, over the last 12 hours. It's been cool to see that over and over again.
So there are some Virginia ties to say hey.
That's really cool. I didn't realize that. You're right, though. I mean, you can make the argument, not just that he was the best living player until yesterday, but you can make the argument he's the best player of all time, can't you? You really can.
Well, if you're a Giants fan or a New York fan, you likely would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he missed over a season because of his military obligations.
Right, right.
Such a different era, right? Ted Williams missed games.
Mm-hmm.
If there weren't world wars where players had to leave the game, what would their career stats have been?
Oh, my goodness gracious, yeah.
Roberto Clemente... You know, his final major league hit, Rick, was his 3,000th hit.
Right.
But he wasn't going to retire.
No, no.
Where would Bobby Clemente be?
Oh, my goodness.
On that list, had he not tragically passed.
Maybe to the point to where he's the numbers holder in so many categories that we'd be talking about him being the guy that everybody's pursuing. That's how good he was.
Yeah, but all around. So, like Bobby Clemente, Willie Mays, I mean, they did the whole thing, right? They had the defense.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
They were the legit five-tool dudes who you watch Willie Mays catch. You watch Roberto Clemente fire a ball from the warning track in right field to third base on a hop. Perfect throw or to the plate. And they did more than just hit. They could run and play great defense. And as everybody knows, amazing men and great teammates. People who you wanted in your clubhouse, whether they hit 320 or 220, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is Bill Roth and the Roth Report. We've still got the SMA update to get to. Bill's Baker Team Game of the Week. And his NRV Heart Clinic Top 3. All that's coming up with the voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth, and the Roth Report. Stay with us. Don't go away.
First in Maine is a beautiful shopping center located right here in Blacksburg. It has the perfect mix of shops, restaurants, and entertainment. Grab some new shoes and accessories at Runabout Sports and Walkabout Outfitter to make your hikes around the NRV even better. Looking to grab a bite to eat? Well, First in Maine has great restaurants like Avellino's and Bull and Bones. Looking for some family entertainment? Then check out B&B Theaters for movies, the arcade, and bowling. And True Value Hardware for your home improvement projects. Visit First in Maine today, the official entertainment destination of Virginia Tech Athletics. You know, buying or selling a home is a really important decision. Well, trust that decision to the Louise Baker team with Long & Foster Realtors. Louise, Marshall, and Rhonda have combined experience of 40-plus years right here in the New River Valley. Check their website, nrvhomes.com, to search properties. They'll give you home field advantage in a competitive market.
From the classroom to the studio to the stadium, it's time to catch up on the latest from Virginia Tech's Sports Media and Analytics Program. Today's SMA update is brought to you by First in Maine, Blacksburg's premier destination to eat, drink, shop, and play. Here, once again, is Rick Watson.
And it's never the off-season for the SMA folks. What's happening with the latest?
No, it is not. First of all, I want to thank again David Street and the Streets, who own First in Maine, for sponsoring this segment.
Absolutely.
But what absolutely exciting news for one of our recent alums. Patrick Campbell, who is a Virginia Tech alum, graduated last year, May of 23, from Charlottesville, came to Tech, went through our SMA program, wanted to be a writer, turned out to be a terrific writer for 3304 Sports, covered games, went to different events, interned for Tech Athletics in the Sports Information Office, Athletics Communications, covered, I think it was the men's and women's tennis, he was the primary contact, interned with the Washington Wizards, and last year with the Washington Commanders. He's been hired by the New York Jets in their communications
office. Oh, very cool. Very cool.
And he'll do everything from credentials to media, the media liaison with the media in New York for training camp, which opens here in the next couple of weeks. And then once the season starts, you know what the NFL is like and what those players are like. And you can imagine what the New York media is like.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And how's that for your first job?
Yeah. You're jumping right into the fire pit, right?
And he's worked so hard, and he's all about it, right? So this training camp, it's 7 days a week, and he did it with the Commanders last year, and he just loved it. It's 7 days a week. It's getting players to do interviews. It's answering media questions
and
sponsor requests from television and the networks and local radio and all the things that teams do. And, you know, there are not as many players on an NFL roster as there are in college. But in preseason camp, Rick, there are.
Oh, no doubt.
Because there's
no doubt.
All these guys trying to make the team. And so there's media coverage from all over the country and internationally as well. Can we interview this guy? How's he doing? We need to get to this coach. And then once the season starts, he'll be charged with setting up the press box and doing all those things. So really excited for Pat. Just a great representative of Tech and SMA. Very high grade point average. We're not allowed to share GPAs, but he was a very, very, very good student.
Well, that just sounds like he's really, like you say, embracing that atmosphere. It sounds like it's going to be something that's perfect for his personality too, right?
Being and he sent me a picture. His first day was yesterday, Monday. He sent me a picture, and you know, they gave him all the Jet swag.
Yes. Nice. Nice.
And when you're really on the team, hey, it's hard to make the NFL as a player. It's hard. It's really hard to make the NFL as well as a employee, because only the best of the best make it. And New York adds a little more challenge to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for Pat. He's from Charlottesville, went to Monticello High School over there, and is a great Hokie. And so, hey, we have a Jets source for tickets.
There you go. Anytime you're up in the Northeast, you know who to call. Yeah. How about your Baker team game of the week? Are we going to focus on the College World Series or something else now at the NBA?
I think so. Yeah. You know, we're down to – so the four ACC teams are down to one. Florida State is the last standing. They'll play again today. And then they had a rainout yesterday, but Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, and A&M are still standing. That's about to change.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to knock each other off. So the College World Series this weekend, I'm excited about it. The games have been amazing. The walk-offs at the end have been great. It's been incredible drama. Even going back to the Super Regionals, they were great. But what's happening in Omaha is amazing. So it's worth your time to watch the Men's College World Series from Omaha this week. It's been great.
Yeah, Tennessee feels like they're the best team, but who knows, man? Anything can happen.
Kentucky has something going, man.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Kentucky and Tennessee look like they're the two best teams.
Yeah, it just feels
like.
Isn't
it interesting how that football money trickles down?
I know. Not a shock. Not a coincidence in any way, shape, or form. All right, time now as we finish up with Bill and the Roth Report. Time now for Bill's NRV Heart Clinic Top 3.
Are you ready for today's countdown? It's time for Bill's Top 3. Now back with Bill Roth, it's Rick Watson.
All right, what are we looking at for the top 3?
You know, Edmonton and Florida are playing in the Stanley Cup Final. They're going back to Edmonton now for Game 6 after last night's game down there. And it's the farthest distance between two teams ever in a championship series. It's like 2,500 miles.
Right.
So they play two games in Fort Lauderdale, two games in Edmonton, and now they go 1-1-1, but they got to fly back and forth, which means the broadcasters and the league people have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really challenging to fly four times across the country in 3 days.
Absolutely.
6 days is whatever it'll be. But I thought, let's talk about the most unusual sports geographic oddities that seemingly don't make sense. But in our head, we have embraced it, and it does make sense for us. For example, Cal and Stanford in the ACC.
Yes. Makes no sense. Right.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone sent me a picture yesterday. They redid the basketball court in Berkeley on Cal's home floor, and they have the outline of the state of California at midcourt.
Yeah.
And ACC on both free throws.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What's nice, though, the NFL doesn't do that, Rick, because, say, for example, the NFC East, right? I-95, it runs right through New York because the Giants are in the NFC East, right?
Mm-hmm.
It runs right through Philadelphia, where the Eagles are in the NFC East. And I-95 comes right through D.C., where the Commanders are in the NFC East.
Right.
And the fourth team?
Down in the Southwest a little ways, huh?
Dallas. The NFC East. How does that make sense?
That makes no sense. Makes no sense.
But my number one geographic oddity in sports takes us to the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics. Because do you know where, Rick Watson, the surfing competition will be held? For the Summer Olympics. Paris Summer
the
Olympics.
The Paris Summer Olympics, where are they going to have the surf? No, I do not. I do not.
In French Polynesia. In Tahiti.
Really?
It's 16 time zones away.
Really?
10,000 miles. 16,000 kilometers from Paris. And the reason, well, it is French Polynesia, right? They own the islands, right? It's the best waves in the world.
So that's why. So will they be part of the opening ceremonies and then just fly over there and start getting ready for the competition?
I don't know, but there's the waves, the way I understand it, they've had to build a media and judge platform way out in the lagoon.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we've seen those waves, right?
Yeah.
This isn't Oahu waves. These are like the biggest waves in the world.
Right.
And I bet you it ends up stealing the show when you have these massive South Pacific waves that's never been done before in competition like this. It has, but not in Olympic competition.
Right.
Where you have the eyes of the world watching it. So when you see these biggest waves in the world, and you see someone, how did he ride it? How did she ride it? It's ordinarily in French Polynesia. And so that's, we are accepting it now. It has nothing to do with Europe or Paris.
Interesting.
It's in French Polynesia, and that's where the Olympics will be.
Okay. Good stuff. Good knowledge, as always, my friend.
So if you grew up one of those California surfer dudes,
yeah,
right, chilling in Dana Point.
Yeah, that would be me.
You're going to the Paris Olympics by going west.
That's right. Taking a little detour. Yeah.
Tahiti. Fiji, whatever the airport
wherever
is.
Wherever it might be. Right, right.
What you got this week? Anything fun?
No, just kind of in down mode now during the summer. So
I got a text just now.
Yeah.
Nordstrom Rack has Zegna jeans on sale for $250.
Oh, really? We're so
limited
there.
Limited size available. I'm looking at it. They are listening to our silliness.
See, I'll meet you there after the show.
I don't know that I would pay $250 for
no,
jeans.
No, I would not. Absolutely not. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're $500.
Yeah, still. That's right. That's right. Because you got to get at least two pair. That's it. That's it.
If I see them in a mall one day, I don't know where they even sell, at the Zegna store, I will take a picture.
Please do. Yes, please do. I want to see that price tag. All right, man. Stay safe.
Be well.
All right, you too. There you go. It's Bill Roth and the Roth Report. We'll take a break. Come back. The second of our two Hall of Famers, David Teal, joins us next as we finish up on a Wednesday.
First in Maine is a beautiful shopping center located right here in Blacksburg and has the perfect mix of shops, restaurants, and entertainment. Grab some new shoes and accessories at Runabout Sports and Walkabout Outfitter to make your hikes around the NRV even better. Looking to grab a bite to eat? Well, First in Maine has great restaurants like Avellino's and Bull and Bones. Looking for some family entertainment? Then check out B&B Theaters for movies, the arcade, and bowling. And True Value Hardware for your home improvement projects. Visit First in Maine today, the official entertainment destination of Virginia Tech Athletics.
This transmission is the New River Valley's rock station, 105.3 The Bear. It's Big Dog Sports Talk.
We're rolling along here on this Wednesday. My thanks to Bill Roth. We go from one Hall of Famer to the next. Joining us now, he's your Virginia Sports Writer of the Year. Yet again, his name is David Teal. David, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
So, Bill wanted me to ask you, David, would you ever spend $700 on a pair of jeans?
I haven't spent $700 on clothes in the last 7 years.
Agreed. Apparently, there's a pair of jeans, Zenti jeans or something, at $700. So he just saw that ad. So anyway, I'm the same way. Speaking of $700, that's the way Florida State's playing right now in the College World Series, right? I mean, they eliminate two, as you wrote, maybe soon-to-be former ACC rivals, Virginia and North Carolina. I don't know what it is, but watching them play, it feels like they have a shot to come through that loser bracket, doesn't it?
I don't know. They got to beat Tennessee twice.
Correct.
And top-seeded Vols are rested, haven't played since Sunday. I kind of like Tennessee's chances. And, oh, by the way, ACC teams are 0-4 against the SEC in Omaha.
No. Were you surprised to see Virginia go out as quickly as they did?
Yes. And they were 5-0 in the tournament heading into the College World Series. Their pitching was great, and their pitching remained quite good at the CWS, but unlike in the Super Regional against Kansas State, Rick, Virginia just didn't get the clutch hits in its two World Series losses to Carolina and Florida State. Cavaliers left 19 men on base, and that's just not going to cut it. And that's in stark contrast to the Super Regional when 15 of their 19 RBIs came with two outs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way baseball rolls. It's just such a fickle game. And you just never know from one inning to the next, let alone one day or one series to the next.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, nonetheless, though, they had a terrific finish to their season. It's kind of, you know, where they were early and based on how bad their pitching was, as you've talked about here a couple times on the show. I mean, it's really kind of a miraculous job that they were able to do just to get to Omaha.
Oh, yeah. Now, there were times during the season, you know, they raked all year. I mean, they were the top, by batting average, they were the top offense in the Power Five. I believe they were second nationally to one of the mid-majors, maybe Austin Peay. I'm not sure about that. But the big question was pitching. But, man, postseason, Evan Blanco, Jay Woolfolk, on, you know, as starters, Chase Hungate coming out of the pen, they were really, really good.
Well, looking at where we are in collegiate sports, you had a nice piece. The fact that you have conferences now, you know, that are trying to get sponsorships that are going to be brought to you. Big 12 is going to be brought to you by this and that. The ACC is happening. I mean, it's going to be everywhere, isn't it? This advertising grab now to help out these schools with their financial obligations going forward.
Welcome to NASCAR.
That's exactly right.
I can't wait for the post-game interviews to start with coaches and athletes switching hats after every sentence and thanking each sponsor on his or her sleeve, and it's just going to be impossible to get a decent quote for the column.
No, you're right. And people think, well, you're not really exaggerating. I mean, I guess it was inevitable this was going to come around at some point, but now it's kind of been expedited. But the field information is interesting. We've seen it on basketball courts. Arenas all the time sell their floor, so we're used to it that way. But it's going to look a lot different, isn't it, on Saturday afternoons at Lane Stadium when you see that new corporate sponsor or two on the field?
It is, and I think it's coming. I think it's coming this season. And whether the ACC takes the plunge and puts a corporate name on the actual conference brand, I don't know. But it sure seems like the Big 12 and Conference USA are leaning in that direction. And you can have a lot of fun with who the ACC might partner with.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yet, I don't know, maybe I missed it, but I haven't seen any of this attached to the Big 2. You know, even though Greg Sankey swears they're not an alliance, but the Big 10 and the SEC kind of remained a little mum on this right now.
Well, they can afford to.
That's literally right. That's right.
They've got all the money.
That's right. They don't have to jump into it. Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite interesting, Rick, if you read some of the dispatches from SEC spring meetings down in Destin and Big Ten spring meetings, and even their ADs are wondering, where is all the money going to come from to share with athletes, presuming the antitrust settlement is approved this summer? And where is all the money going to come from for NIL on top of that? Fascinating times.
It is, and it is concerning. We don't really have a feel, do we, in terms of the time frame and when all the rulings. You can't really do a whole lot. I know we experience this every day, and even in a place like Radford, we're kind of waiting, right? We don't know. There's not really any direction. Talking around some of the other Power Four folks that I know, I mean, everybody's just kind of in a, like you said, we're just waiting on that ruling right now.
We are, and what's really, you know, you mentioned Radford and other mid-majors and non-football schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reports have come out, and even from the attorneys representing the class in the class action suit, the 75% of this $2.8 billion in back pay is going to go to power conference football.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, conferences like the Big South and the Atlantic 10, they're going to take a serious financial hit on this.
Absolutely.
With the way the NCAA constructed the settlement. And a lot of those conferences are crying foul, and frankly, I can't blame them.
No, no. I'm part of it, so I'm obviously biased, and I agree. I'm calling foul as well. But did that surprise you to see so much of that percentage? I know it doesn't feel like a lot compared to the Power Fours and the football programs, but did that surprise you to see how much the lower tier, the mid-major conferences, got tied into this, the payback?
No, because that's the only money that the NCAA has. The NCAA doesn't control football money.
Right. That's true.
Since the NCAA is absorbing, I believe it's 60% of the $2.8 billion, where does 90% of the NCAA's money come from?
Mm-hmm.
The men's basketball tournament.
Right.
So how does the NCAA get that back? It trims the distributions to the various conferences. And yes, the ACC is going to get hit harder than the Big South because of its success in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But the ACC schools have ESPN money. Big South schools do not.
Right.
And that's where the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know the time frame to pay all this back, right? I mean, how long will those percentages stay in place? I mean,
10 years, right?
10 years to do it all? Wow. So that means 10 years these conferences are going to have to be, you know, without that NCAA basketball money. I mean, the only thing you can look at it honestly about it, people ask, is this: you're going to see programs eliminated. That's just the way it's going to be at certain schools. You're going to see a lot of club sports popping up at mid-majors.
It's quite possible, and it's also quite possible at the power conference level, Rick, and that's why you see these leagues exploring naming rights, because while they may only fetch, I don't know, $50 million a year, according to some estimates I read, that's $3 million per school in a power conference. $3 million is more than the operating budget of every sport at Virginia Tech, except men's and women's basketball, football, and baseball.
Right.
So you take that $3 million a year, you save an Olympic sport.
That's right. That's a great point. He's David Teal joining us on the program, the multiple Hall of Famer, your Virginia Sports Writer of the Year. And speaking of money, and our own athletic director at Radford, Robert Lindenberg, was down at SMU as an assistant coach for a number of years, and he talked about SMU, that they've got money. They're going to have a way to. And you published this amazing article, this tweet that they put out. $159 million of fundraising efforts for this third newest member of the ACC.
Well, and Rick, $100 million of that came within 1 week of the ACC inviting SMU to the league.
Man, oh man.
And to put that in context, Sportico has a great database of NCAA financial filings. And there's not a public school in the country that approached SMU's total. Nobody came close. And SMU, Rick, has an undergraduate enrollment of about 6,300. Mm-hmm. It's a small private school.
Right, right.
But they got big oil.
Yeah, absolutely they do.
And big oil means big satchels full of cash.
And it's going to continue now. And I remember, David, we had the conversation. This was something they anticipated. People were wondering why the ACC, they were promised that money that they got if they made a move to a power league, right? They were told, and sure enough, those contributors came through when they made the move.
Well, and they're going to continue. They're going to have to continue to come through because, as we all know, and it's very public knowledge, SMU agreed to take no share of ACC media rights for its first 7 to 10 years in the league. So they got to make up that money somehow. And it's going to come from their very generous, wealthy donors.
It was a trade-off they rolled the dice on, wasn't it? To give up that money and know they were going to get it tenfold, and that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So good for them. Good for them. It worked out for them, at least, this move.
we'll see how it translates to the field.
Yeah, that's right. Not so much for Cal and Stanford. I haven't heard anything about any fundraising efforts on that end, but we'll see. We'll see. So what are you looking at now coming up? College World Series will be over with here in a week or so.
Yeah, kind of a slow season, but preparing some things for July. You know, July 1st will be the 20th anniversary of Virginia Tech and Miami entering the ACC. Have some retrospects there. And that's also when some of the ACC new members join the league.
That's right.
So we'll be looking back in one sense and looking ahead in the other.
And finally, quick thought about Willie Mays. I mean, you talk about an icon. You can make the argument, not only was he the best, you know, the greatest living player at the time, but maybe the greatest player of all time, losing his battle last night at 93. Great long life for the Say Hey Kid.
93. Basket catch, right?
Yeah.
How many kids in their backyard of my vintage tried to copycat that and had baseballs hit him in the chest? You know, trying to do a basket catch of a fly in the outfield, and your little league coach is screaming at you, use two hands.
That's exactly right. You're not Willie Mays.
That's right. Quit showboating. But he was. People who know Major League Baseball far better than I are almost unanimous that he is indeed the greatest ball player of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I would not disagree. David, thank you so much, man. Great stuff as always. We covered a lot of ground with you as always, so appreciate you so much.
All right, Rick. Be well.
All right, there you go. You too. That's David Teal, the Hall of Famer. We're back to wrap up the Wednesday edition when we return.
The Big Dog on the Bear.
Folks today, Keon Brown, Bill Roth, and David Teal. And thanks to you, the smartest listening audience already. Always great to interact with you. So many great text messages about various things throughout the day. We'll be back tomorrow on the Thursday edition of the program. Everybody stay safe. That's the main thing. Everybody stay safe and go about your days as best as you can. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.
Here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.